Pastor Leila Nahavandi.
Oh, thank you so much, Pastor Rob. Thank you, church. You can go ahead and take a seat. I think Pastor Rob deserves a medal for getting my last name right with no preparation. So thank you guys so much for having me here. As Pastor Rob said, this is my first time meeting Pastor Rob and Pastor Denise this morning. But their reputation and their ministry and their legacy has touched my life for many years, and I've been able to witness their ministry through many different people sharing about how their lives have been impacted by you guys. And I just wanted to thank you for the seeds that you have sown all over our nation. I'm an ordained minister with the Australian Christian Churches, and we are so thankful for you guys as pillars in our nation who have sown seeds and raised leaders and sent people out all over the nation. Can we honour them? And I was just, as I was praying this morning and as I was in the worship, the Lord just dropped a scripture in my spirit for you guys. And this just speaks to how amazing Pastor Denise is. I was trying to look through my Bible to find the scripture as I was looking for a word for her. She's like, oh, do you want me to help you to find the word? Do you want me to help you with my phone light? And so she's just so kind. I just love you guys and love your spirit to really just encourage and support and come alongside leaders. But it was from Acts chapter 21 and verse 9. And it sounds unusual, but it talks about Philip, and it says he had four unmarried daughters who prophesied. And a lot of us sort of look to these like four unmarried women who are prophets in the New Testament and these ladies who were prophetic. But no one really asked the question, how did Philip have a house full of people that were prophesying, that were fulfilling the call and the anointing of God on their lives? And there's another man, Agabus, who comes to stay at Philip's house, and he prophesies and brings a word to the church. And I think it really speaks to the anointing and the grace on Philip's life to cultivate a home and an atmosphere where people could be raised into the giftings, the anointings, the callings on their lives. And I want to thank you guys so much for building a home, building a house here in Mackay and a school here in Mackay, building a home where people could be raised into the callings, the anointing, the giftings on their lives. And I just felt this morning as I was praying for you guys that as you have sown, so shall you reap. In Galatians, it says, God will not be mocked. It says he loves a cheerful giver, and as you have sown, so shall you reap. And I just feel such a harvest of blessing coming to you guys, not just around the nation and the nations of the world, but I see such a harvest of blessing coming here in Mackay and to this house and for the next generation of what the Lord wants to do here. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And thank you guys for being so faithful and for just serving the Lord with your lives. It's such an honour to minister. And thank you, church, for having me here. I guess you guys had no choice in who's on the stage this morning. But thank you also for having me here to be part of Extreme Conference and church this morning. As Pastor Rob said, as he read out my extremely long bio, I am the leader of a ministry called the Burning Hearts Movement. And this ministry comes really out of Luke chapter 24, where the disciples on the road to Emmaus, they were talking with Jesus, and they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he opened the scriptures to us? And on this journey, their eyes were open to see Jesus for who he really is. And so this ministry is all about awakening the world to see Jesus and awakening the church to that first love fire for God, the power, the gifts, the person of the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord has been opening wild doors all around the nations for our ministry. Only 2 months ago, I was in Dallas, Texas, and I was invited to preach the gospel via satellite to 7 million people in Iran. So praise God for what he's doing and for the doors he's opening. And so if you think of us, please, please pray for us. Please pray for what the Lord is doing through the ministry. I'm excited to share this morning a message with you that is entitled, Come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit. I believe this morning that the Lord is inviting every single one of us to invite his Holy Spirit into everything that we do. See, I believe that the Lord wants us to live in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Encounters with the Holy Spirit are not limited to a conference, although we do want to have radical, life-changing encounters with the Holy Spirit at the conference this week. But encounters with the Holy Spirit and a life spent with the Holy Spirit is a life that is continually inviting Him to come and be with us and minister to us and minister through us. And so this morning I want to share this message that is entitled, Come Holy Spirit. If you could turn with me to Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Jumping down to verse 14, it says this, but Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel, and in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I pour my spirit out on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and my female servants, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. Let's jump down to verse 37. It says, now when they had heard that these were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. Everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added to them about 3,000 souls that day. Can we just bow our heads and pray over the word this morning? Holy Spirit, we thank you that your presence is here this morning. We thank you, Lord, that many of us in this room have had many encounters with you over the years, Lord God. We thank you that we know you, Holy Spirit. But we thank you that no matter how well we know you, no matter how many encounters we've had with you, God, there is always more. There is always more that you want us to experience in you. There are always more areas of our lives that we can invite you into, seasons, moments, times, opportunities that we can invite you into, Holy Spirit, and see you move in powerful ways. And so this morning, Lord, we say, come, Holy Spirit. We want a fresh encounter with you. We want to know you in a deeper way this morning. We invite you to come and have your way. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen, amen. I love what A.W. Tozer says about the Holy Spirit. He says, when we have the Holy Spirit, we have all that is needed to be all that God desires us to be. Smith Wigglesworth said this, the power of God will take you out of your own plans and put you into the plan of God. Isn't that right? Cain and Alyssa, who have moved to the freezing cold Melbourne. Only God could do that, right? A.W. Tozer also said, we go astray when we attempt to do spiritual work without spiritual power. I believe that there is a new realm, a new level of the power of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit wants us to experience this morning. I believe there might even be people in this room this morning who have become tired and weary in doing all the things that the Lord has called you to do. I believe the Holy Spirit wants to give you fresh fire this morning, fresh strength, fresh power, so you can do all that He has called you to do. I really love the work of the Holy Spirit, and I really love getting to share about the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit changed my life. The Holy Spirit changed our family's life in a really radical way. In the early 90s, I was living in New Zealand. I was born into a Muslim family. My dad is Iranian and my mum is Irish. I was born in England into this Muslim family. Mum had converted to Islam to marry my dad. And when I was 2 years old, we moved to New Zealand. When we were living in New Zealand, my mum and dad had two other kids, so we were a family of five. And everything was all good. Everything was wonderful until one day it just wasn't. And my auntie from Iran came to live with us in New Zealand. And we didn't know at the time, but my auntie was actually schizophrenic. And so for anyone who's dealt with mental health issues in the home, you know how difficult this can be and what this can mean for your family life and for your home. And so all of a sudden, it's like our lives just continued to spiral downwards. I remember being a five-year-old kid and standing in the lounge room with my dad, and my auntie had pulled a knife on my dad and she was holding up the knife and threatening to kill him. And I just remember there being absolute chaos in our home. My mum was severely depressed and lost and lonely. It was the early 90s. All of her family was over in Ireland. And so we really had no hope. My dad was just sort of losing himself in his work. He's a professor of robotic engineering. And so he would just always be at the university, just sort of climbing the ladder there. And my mum would be at home with us three kids under five and my auntie. And so one day my mum, she said to my dad, "This is it. I'm leaving. I'm taking the kids. I'm going." And so we ended up leaving and we went into a women's and children's shelter. While we were living in this women's and children's shelter in New Zealand, the people at my school would like invite me over to their house to play. And so I was trying to go over to their house after school or after kindy and trying to go over to play at their house, but their parents couldn't get our details because we were living in this shelter. And so these parents started to realize, hey, there's something going on with that family, with that little girl's family from school. And these parents were actually Christian parents. They were families of Christians and they all attended a life group together on a Wednesday night at their church. And so in their life group, they began to pray for our family. And how many believe in the power of prayer to change lives? These are things that we might do every week as we gather together. And I want to tell you, I want to encourage you as you continue to do that. It can change people's lives in such powerful ways. So they started to pray for our family, just pray that Jesus would show up and move in our lives and turn this whole situation around. There was another lady from this church who had grown up on the mission field, and she'd grown up, I think, in the Philippines, and she was a Kiwi lady, and they lived down the road from us. And so she would share the gospel with my mum. Anytime us kids were sick, anytime anything like that was happening, she would say, "Can I pray for them?" And she would pray for us and lay hands on us, and my mum would feel this presence that she hadn't felt before. She would realize there's something about what this lady is on about and what she believes. There's something real when she prays. There's something I'm feeling, something I'm experiencing when this lady prays. And so this lady reached out to my mum again when she was in this state of just extreme brokenness. She said, "Hey, I know that your life feels like it's an absolute mess right now. I know that you feel like you have no hope and you don't know where to turn. But I believe if you would surrender your life to Jesus, if you would give everything to Him, He can make something beautiful out of this mess. He has a plan and a purpose for your life. And if you would give your life to Him, you can step into that plan and that purpose." And so my mum, there was something in her heart that was like, "This is real, this is true." She said, "Yes, I want to give my life to Jesus." So in this lady's house, she gave her life to Jesus. Let's give God some praise for that. And this lady and her husband, they were like, this girl is, she's converted to Islam, so we better get her baptized right away. Like, there's no turning back. So they filled up their bathtub with water and they said, "Hey, let's baptize you right here, right now." And my mum got water baptized in their bathtub. And we started going along to church with this family. It was a radical Pentecostal church. I'm so thankful for the 90s and for the Pentecostal church. I remember the flags. I remember it all. Heaven's gates, hell's flames, all the stuff. And God was moving in a powerful way. And my mum, she just got so on fire for God. Her life had turned from darkness to life, to light. Her life had gone from depression to just full of joy. I remember just dancing around the living room table, just full of joy, to the Benny Benny Hinn TV show, This Is Your Day. This is the Alpha and Omega. You know, all those songs. We're just dancing wildly. God has changed our lives. Jesus has set us free. And we are full of the hope of Jesus. And so Mum's going along to the church and started to receive some discipleship and grow in the Lord. And she really started to feel like, oh, I need to restore things with my husband. I need to believe that God can save him and that we can be together. And so we ended up moving back in with my dad. My dad was able to find another house for my auntie and fix that sort of situation there. And my mum just kept sharing the gospel with my dad. And she was so desperate for him to believe. And as a new believer, God would give her just visions and prophetic words. And so she had just a new believer kind of faith that she said to my dad one day, hey, I believe if I open my Bible and I point to a scripture, it'll be a scripture directly for you. And my dad was like, whatever. Like, he's like, don't talk to me about this Christian thing. She opens her Bible pointing to a scripture, just hoping it doesn't say like, then Judas went and hanged himself or something like that. You know, like she's just praying, God, let it be, you know, your word for him. And she opened it and she pointed to this scripture in the book of John. Brand new Christian, doesn't really know what she's doing. And it was where Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And she just started bawling, yeah, praise God. He will meet us at our point of faith. But my dad was like, no, I'm not going to believe in Jesus. He said, I will be the last Muslim on earth, right? My dad had big plans. And so he was like, no. This is not going to happen. And so he didn't receive it. He didn't receive Jesus. And that's the end of the story. No, I'm joking. So he started just coming along to church with my mum because he was like, I want to see how only someone from Mackay could be cold in this kind of weather. With Pastor Denise is like, I better get my jacket on. So my dad was like, I'm going to come to church to see how they're brainwashing my wife and my kids. And how many know it's a dangerous place for a Muslim to be in a wild Pentecostal church? Like, the Holy Spirit's going to get you, you know? You don't want to be there. You don't want to be there checking in on what's happening. So my dad was sort of like sitting in the back of the church, and as he's sitting there, they're getting up, people are testifying to what the Holy Spirit has done in their lives and how God is moving, and people had been healed and saved and set free. And as they were sharing, my dad is like, how are they paying all these people to lie to all these nice people here in the congregation? He was so skeptical and he didn't believe it at all. But there was something inside of him that was like, oh, I want to test this out. Like, he's a scientist, a professor of robotic engineering. So he thought, I'm going to do an experiment on the Holy Spirit, like as you do, right? And so as he was lying in bed one night, he just prayed this prayer and he just said, Holy Spirit, if you're real, then show me. And all of a sudden, it's like he just felt the wind of God blow all over his body. He'd never read Acts chapter 2, didn't know, you know, the Holy Spirit coming like a wind, and he just feels this wind of God blowing all over his body. Now, being the Muslim scientist that he was like, what a coincidence. that can't be possible, right? Like, that's not a thing. So he gets up to check all of the variables in the room for all the scientists. And he checks the windows, checks the curtains, nothing's open. And so he goes back to bed, and as he's lying in bed one more time, he just felt the wind of God blow all over his body a second time. And as he's so confused and so curious about what's going on, it happens a third time. And he feels the Lord speak to him in his heart and say, I want to show you that I'm real. I want to show you that Jesus is real. And so from that moment on, my dad was like, yep, better get baptized, better become a Christian. Like, I believe in this Jesus. Like, yep, no worries, come on. Praise God. And so I remember as a five-year-old kid sitting on the side of the baptismal tank at church and watching my dad get baptized. And so from that moment on, I've had the privilege and the pleasure of growing up in the house of God and having many encounters with the Holy Spirit. But this is not just something that I think I've experienced in church. It's something that's changed our whole family's life, that's revealed Jesus to us in a powerful way. And so I'm so passionate about the church encountering and inviting the Holy Spirit, because I know it's not just for us, it's for the world around us that desperately desperately needs to encounter a God that is real, that loves them and cares about them, that has a plan and a purpose for them. So we say, come Holy Spirit this morning. What happens when we say, come Holy Spirit, both individually and corporately? What happens in our lives? The first thing that happens is that hearts become hungry. Our hearts become hungry for the Holy Spirit when we invite Him, when we encounter Him, when we experience Him. The more we encounter Him, the more we hunger for Him and the less we hunger for the things of this world. It's like when someone is baking fresh cookies at home and if someone's baking those fresh cookies, there comes a point where that aroma starts to take over the entire house and people start coming from all over the house, from upstairs, they're coming downstairs, from outside, they're coming inside because this smell, these cookies, they have made their presence known to everybody in the house and everyone's hungry, everyone wants to get their hands on them. Do you know what? In the same way, when the presence of the Holy Spirit is invited, when we invite the person of the Holy Spirit into our lives, into our congregation, into our ministries, into our workplace, into everything that we're doing, our hearts begin to hunger for more of Him, more of His plans, His purposes, His will in our lives. We begin to hunger for Him. Hungry people do wild things for Jesus. Hungry hearts for the Holy Spirit do wild, wild things. I remember when I was a teenager, I got encountered at a youth conference just like Extreme. And I was touched by the power of the Holy Spirit. The fire of God hit me. I was on the ground, just completely out under the power of God. And I got up off the ground and I was like, I'm going to start a Christian group in my high school. Right? I was so zealous for the Lord, so bold with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I remember at that moment, I was like, yes, I'm going to start this Christian group. All the youth ministries in Australia at that time, it was like the early 2000s, they were called something like Boom or like Explosion Fire or those sorts of things back in the early 2000s and 90s. And so I was like, I want a name like that for my Christian group at school. I'm going to call it Detonate, right? Detonate, because the Holy Spirit's going to come and blow this place up, right? Come on. And that would probably be okay for any like blonde hair, blue-eyed Australian from Mackay. But when you're half Iranian and half Irish and you want to start a religious group named Detonate, it's definitely going to raise some eyebrows. And so I ended up in the principal's office, no word of a lie, where the principal was asking me like, Layla, I just want to know, what's the nature of your religious group, Detonate? Is it? This is like September 11's alive and well, you know, war on terror. And I was like, oh, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to come blow this place up. No, I didn't say that. But I was so zealous for the Lord, so full of the power of the Holy Spirit that I was wild and free doing whatever He was calling me to do. I believe that there is a wildness, there is a freedom that comes when we encounter the Holy Spirit, when we invite Him into every area of our lives so that we could do all that He has called us to do. He wants to help us, He wants to empower us, and He wants us to be hungry for Him. The second thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes is His presence becomes tangible. His presence becomes tangible. There is a difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. This is what I love about being a Pentecostal. If you cut me open, I bleed Pentecostal. You know, I'm sure every artery in my, or every blood cell in my body would speak in tongues if it could, right? It would just be like, ba-da-da-ba-ba, what's that in her DNA? You know? I love being Pentecostal because we go after the manifest presence of God. We want to experience the manifest presence of God. We see this in the Bible. We see this in the book of Exodus chapter 3. We see Moses, he encounters this burning bush, and it's the manifest presence of God here to encounter him and to speak to him and to call him into his destiny. There's this manifest presence that's different to the omnipresence, because we know that God is everywhere at all times. He is always here on earth, but that manifest presence is where God makes himself known to our senses, something that we can experience, see, feel, touch, taste. something that we experience in the physical realm, that we experience the supernatural work of God. Maybe bodies become healed in the presence of God because the manifest presence is here. We have these life-changing encounters in the presence of God because the manifest presence of God is here. I believe this morning that the Lord wants to encourage us to live lives that don't just believe in the omnipresence of God and say, yes, God, you're with me everywhere that I go and everything that I do, but people who really pray and believe for the Holy Spirit to come and manifest himself, maybe to give us words of knowledge to share with people or to lay hands on the sick and see them recovered, to experience like my mum experienced with this missionary lady, the presence of God falling on people when we pray for them just in our homes. God wants us to be people who know the manifest presence of God. The presence of God becomes tangible when we invite the Holy Spirit to come. The third thing that happens when we invite the Holy Spirit to come is that oil becomes essential. Oil becomes essential. Now, I'm not trying to sell you any essential oils this morning. I'm not one of your oily girls. This is not a trick. I'm not here to sell you all my oils this morning. But there is one oil that I do believe is essential. And that is the oil of the Holy Spirit, the oil of the anointing. It is essential for every Christian. Come on, if you believe that, why don't you give him a round of applause? Lord God, we thank you that your oil of anointing is all that we need, Lord God, to accomplish all that you've called us to do. We need the oil of his anointing. We need this oil in our lives. I love what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 13. It says, Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed him with his brothers standing around watching. The Holy Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. This oil was essential for David to fulfill his task as king. I believe this morning that the oil of the Holy Spirit wants to be poured out upon us afresh this morning. He wants to come and he wants to empower us. He wants to help us. It might even be business people in this room this morning. You might have been coming up against a challenge in your business. Which way do I go? What decision do I make? The oil of anointing is not just for us to minister on a stage or a platform. The oil of anointing is for you to have the strategies of heaven operating in your business, in your ministry, in your family. When you have a wayward child and you're like, I don't know what to do with them. They're just off the rails and doing all these sorts of stuff. The anointing of the Holy Spirit would encourage you to pray as God wants you to pray the perfect will of God over that son or that daughter. God wants us to receive the oil of the anointing to be empowered to do what he has called us to do. I love in the tabernacle in the Old Testament, the tabernacle was really a picture and it was the manifest presence of God here on the earth. God came to dwell with the people of God on the earth and the manifest presence of God would dwell in the tabernacle. And the tabernacle also had this oil of anointing, this oil of incense it was called. And this anointing oil would mark all the different things in the presence of God. The priests and different people would have this anointing oil on them. And as they would have the anointing oil on them, God spoke to the makeup of that oil. And he said, if anyone copies this fragrance, if anyone copies the makeup of this oil, like you're gonna die, like you cannot do this. He had a patent on this perfume and he was not letting anybody copy it. And so that meant that when somebody or when something came out of the presence and it was walking amongst the people, they would smell this fragrance of the presence of God. And they knew that that fragrance only came from the presence because the world could not replicate it. The world could not imitate it. There was nothing else on earth that could copy the anointing oil of the presence. And do you know what? In the same way, when we get in the presence of the Holy Spirit, when we come and we say, come, Holy Spirit, come and anoint me fresh with your oil, we carry this anointing out into the world, this anointing to break the yoke of heaviness, to break the yoke of bondage, to break the plans of the kingdom of darkness and bring the kingdom of light everywhere that we go. It's something that the world cannot imitate. It cannot recreate what you have been called to carry into this world. God wants to anoint us with something that only heaven can give us to change the world around us. Maybe if the worship team could join me. The final thing that happens when we invite the Holy Spirit, when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit," in our lives and corporately, miracles become normal. Miracles become normal. Acts chapter 2 in verse 42, it says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." When we welcome the Holy Spirit, when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit," miracles become normal in our lives. Miracles of provision, miracles of healing, miracles of divine connections. I can't tell you the amazing miracles that the Lord has done, even just over the last few months in my life and ministry, because I've said, "Come, Holy Spirit. I can't do this alone. I can't do this with my own gifts, my own talents, my own abilities. They amount to nothing." But when we say, "Come, Holy Spirit," miracles start to become normal. Miracles invade our lives, our ministries, our businesses, our families, our workplaces. When we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, come, Holy Spirit." I have a friend in who grew up in Melbourne as well. His name is Adam. And Adam grew up in a Muslim family. When he was about 15 years old, his parents ended up splitting up. And his life just started to spiral out of control. Adam just started to like find his worth and his value in women and parties and alcohol and all of that sort of stuff. And he even ended up just getting on drugs, and he started doing ice and different things like this as a young man, as a young adult. When he was in his early 20s, he got this job working in airport security at Melbourne Tullamarine Airport. So he goes along to this job, and there was these few guys who worked in airport security who were Christian guys. And so they started to reach out to my friend Adam, and they said, "Hey man, Jesus loves you. He has a plan and purpose for your life. Why don't you come along to our church? Like, we would love to show you what God wants to do in your life." And he was like, "Don't talk to me about Jesus. I don't care about religion. I don't want to have anything to do with religion. Don't you know I grew up a Muslim?" They just kept sharing the love of God with him, kept sharing the gospel of Jesus. He was having nothing to do with it, so they just kept loving on him. And sometimes he would be out late at night just partying all night at the clubs, and they would go and pick him up in the morning and bring him into work super early for that early airport shift. And so they would be just around each other all the time. And one day he was taking the shuttle from the car park into work. And as he was on the shuttle bus, he was just so moved by the love that these guys had shown him. He was so moved that he would just keep mocking them, and he would keep, you know, just abusing them and not treating them very well. But they would just keep showing him love and telling him about Jesus. And he was so moved in his heart by the love that they had shown him, that he prayed this prayer in his head. He didn't even pray it out loud. He said, "Jesus, if you're real, then prove it." And it was coming from an angry heart. It was coming from someone who had been, you know, let down by life, broken by all the situations that he had been through. But God can move even on angry prayers. God can use anything to reveal Jesus to people. And so he opened a door. He opened this door to Jesus, and he said, "If you're real, then prove it." And so he walks into work that day. He completely forgot the prayer that he prayed that morning. And as he is on airport security, people are coming through. It's Melbourne. People are in a rush to get anywhere. And so they're taking off their jackets, putting their laptops in the boxes, coming through. And one guy, as he's doing that, he looks at my friend Adam, and he just goes, "Oh, hey man, this might sound a bit weird, but I'm a Christian and I believe in Jesus. And I believe Jesus wants me to tell you that he loves you and he has a plan and a purpose for your life. And my friend Adam, he's like this big Middle Eastern guy. So he's like, okay, yeah, thanks. No worries. Yep. Yep. Jesus. Yep. Okay, cool. You know? And this guy, he just keeps walking. He has no idea like the impact that that would have made on Adam's life. Another person comes through a couple of hours later as they're walking through security again. They just see something in Adam. They're like, I got to stop this guy. God wants to speak to him. God wants to minister to him. And so this other person comes and says like, oh, hey, man, I believe in Jesus and I believe Jesus wants me to tell you that he heard the prayer that you prayed and he loves you and he has a plan and purpose for your life. Now, my friend Adam was like, what the heck? This is crazy. He yells out to the guys, the other Christian guys. He's like, oi, call the priest. I need to become a Christian. Come on, praise God. Praise God. So my friend Adam, he goes along to church with these guys on Sunday. He surrenders his whole life to Jesus. He gets water baptized. He gets delivered of all this demonic stuff from his past. And today, my friend Adam is a pastor in New Zealand, leading an amazing church, seeing thousands of people come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Can we just bow our heads and close our eyes, church? There might be people in this room this morning who don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I don't want to take for granted that every single person in this room is right with God. And so before we move on, before we even pray for everybody to encounter the Holy Spirit and move into that time, I really need to make sure that I give this invitation for every single person in this room to make right with God. The Bible says that for us to enter into heaven when we die, we need to be at peace with God. And you will know in your heart whether or not you are at peace with God. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That means that not one person on our own abilities, on our own good works, on trying to be a good person, not one of us can enter into relationship with a holy God or enter into heaven when we die. But the Bible says that the good news is that 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth to die on a cross, to save us from our sin, to sacrifice his life in place of ours so that we could receive his salvation. We could receive his redemption. We could receive his perfection. And we could enter into a relationship with a holy God and know that when we die, we are not going to go to hell, but we are going to go to heaven for eternity with Jesus. If you're in this room today and you would say, Layla, I don't know if I was to die tonight, whether or not I would go to heaven or hell, then I want to make sure this morning that you have an opportunity to get right with God. Maybe you've made a decision, you've prayed a prayer, maybe even long ago, and you feel this morning there's something not right. I need an assurance of my salvation. I need to know that I know that I know that I am in right relationship with God. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you and you'd say, Layla, I want to pray this prayer of salvation today, include me in the prayer. With every head bowed and every eye closed, on the count of three, I'm just going to invite you to raise your hand and I would love to pray with you. One, two, three. Awesome, awesome, awesome. I see those hands. Amazing, I see those hands. Awesome, awesome. On my right, in the center, I see that hand. On the left, I see those hands over there as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. This is the most important decision we could ever make, is to make a decision to follow Jesus, to get right with God, to have peace with God. Amazing, amazing. Is there anyone else in this room this morning? I think there's about five people who have lifted up their hands to surrender their hearts to Jesus this morning. We don't want anyone to miss out. If that's you, just give us a wave. I'd love to pray for you as well. Yes, I see that hand on my right, down the back there as well. Amazing. Amazing. This is worth waiting for. This is worth waiting for. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. I see that hand on the side there as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amazing. Down the back on my left as well. So proud of you. This is the best decision you could ever make. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. the joy and the freedom of the Holy Spirit, the joy of the gospel of Jesus changing and transforming your heart and life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Awesome. There's about 7 or 8 people in this room this morning who have lifted their hands. So we would love to pray with them and pray this prayer of salvation. Church, could you stand to your feet with me, and we're going to pray this prayer of salvation this morning. And for those who have lifted your hands, I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer directly from your heart to the heart of God, to the heart of Jesus this morning. We're going to believe that your eternity, your eternal location is going to be shifted this morning to heaven. Can we bow our heads and pray this prayer after me? Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I thank you for dying on a cross to save me from my sin. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of a Savior, and I acknowledge that Jesus, you are the only one who could save me. I surrender my life and I receive your free gift of salvation. I am a child of God. I am on my way to heaven. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. Can we give just a round of applause to these? I think there was eight people who surrendered their hearts to Jesus this morning. So awesome. We're so proud of you. It's the best decision that you could ever make this morning. I want to honour our time this morning, so I'm going to get off the stage in just a moment and hand back to the team here, however they want to lead. But I'm going to be down the front with anyone who is from the team who wants to pray for me. If you're in this room this morning and you just say, hey, I need a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. I need a fresh encounter with God. Maybe you're saying, I want a fresh oil of anointing to come on me and my business and my workplace. Maybe you're a mum at home with your kids, you want a fresh anointing for leading your family. We're going to believe God that He is going to encounter you at the altar this morning. Maybe you're in this room this morning, you need a healing in your body. I believe this morning that as we lay hands on the sick, as the Bible says, you shall recover. You can receive your miracle this morning. We've seen cancers healed. We've seen mighty miracles take place. I would love to join my faith with yours and pray for a miracle for you. But can we lift up our hands to heaven? I'll pass over to the worship team and the team, and I'll be down the front if you want to meet us at the altar. Holy Spirit, we just thank you this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. Come not just on a Sunday morning. Come not just in this corporate gathering. But God, we ask you to come in our lives. Come and invade, God, our workplaces, our family life. Come and invade, Holy Spirit. We ask you to come and take over. God, we're inviting you into every struggle, into every challenge, Holy Spirit. Come and move and minister. God, come and give us the thoughts of heaven. Come and make things that have been difficult easy by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God, we ask this morning as we open the altars, God, for many encounters this morning, for many healings to take place this morning. God, we ask that you would come and have your way as only you can do and as only you can move, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, all the church said, amen, amen. Thank you, Giants. Thank you, worship team.